Hi, and welcome to All Things Cozy with Matt
and Julian.
We are a bi-weekly podcast about everything that is warm, soft, and comforting. Today, we're chatting with celebrated astrologer Susan Miller about the coziness of astrology, the joy it can bring to our lives, and what gifts the stars have in store for the remainder of 2024. Susan, welcome to All Things Cozy. We're so excited to have you here.
Welcome.
I love your concept. I'm going to be a regular listener.
Yes, please.
We need more cozy things in the world.
We really do.
That puts a feather in my cap because you are the coziest. Just an honor to have you on and to take up your time. So thank you so much again for hopping on.
I'm thrilled.
Well, speaking of coziness, let's check in with what's making us feel cozy this week. Julian, kick us off. What is making you feel cozy this week?
Well, a few weeks ago, I took a wonderful trip to Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and I stayed at the Red Lion Inn, which is a historic inn. It's nestled into the Berkshires. It was first opened in 1773, which means it has a lot of history. And it's so eclectic when you step inside, from all the different paintings throughout the years and antiques. And then they also have these cats that they adopted in the inn, Jack and Jane, and they're named after the owners who took over in 1968. And it was just so cozy and welcoming. And the town there was so happy and positive. And I don't know if folks know this, but Norman Rockwell, he lived there and his studio was right in Stockbridge. So that makes it even more special. And what was interesting is the current desk person at the inn, he was originally from Boston and he came up to the Berkshires with his wife. And they were really feeling dissatisfied with their jobs and their work. And they decided to take a look at the local paper and see what jobs were available. And just so would have it, an officer job was open because he's a police officer, and a nursing job was open for his wife. And so they moved their family there, and they've been there ever since. And so you hear a lot of stories like that in the Berkshires where folks just were taken with the town. And I thought to myself, maybe I need to move to Stockbridge. It's just so cozy there in March, because not too cold, but it's nice enough where there's snow on the ground and there's that beautiful winter light that I find so inviting. So it was a really special place. And I recommend if you're in the Berkshires, head over to the Red Lion Inn.
That's so great.
It is. Yeah. Looking at their website, it looks like it's like a classic feel, but elevated. Did you eat there, Julian?
They actually had their restaurants closed while I was there. I think potentially because it's the winter and it's the quieter season, but you could tell it's bustling probably in the summer and the spring, and the staff was wonderful still. They had a daily tea, and so everyone would sit on the couches and talk, and you could tell it was a community place. Like, locals come there to sit with the fireplace and see the cat scamper and all those sorts of things. It felt like it was straight out of Gilmore Girls or something like that, or a Hallmark movie. So it was really wonderful.
That sounds extremely cozy. On the topic of cozy food, what's making me feel cozy this week is the Tiny Chef Show. This is a kids' Nickelodeon show. I'm too old to be watching this, but I've become a huge fan of the Instagram account for the show. And it features the star, the Tiny Chef himself, who is a round green creation, very soft and fuzzy, stop motion animated, who is frankly hard to understand. Like, the way he says hello is blello. So you have to get to know how he talks. He's hard to understand, but he's easy to love. And he helps young people develop a love for cooking. And the show he runs out of his tree stump. Check it out. It's at the Tiny Chef Show. I'm sure parents probably are already aware of this show that their kids watch. Your kid and then me when I have an edible. That's I'm watching the Tiny Chef Show. Just relaxing. It just combines two very cozy elements. Kindness. The Tiny Chef is very kind. It has a growth mindset, always trying to grow his cooking skills and teach young ones how to grow their skills. And miniatures, because he's so tiny, everything he makes is itty bitty and everything small size, little knife that he chops up his vegetables with. But the ingredients are real size. There's a giant onion behind him, but he has like a tiny little piece of it. So the ingredients go a long way in the tree stump. And in fact, the Tiny Chef even does ASMR on their Instagram. So just very cozy all around. Really cute show.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And I love the fact that the emphasis is on learning skills too.
Yes.
For little kids, because there's so much to learn through cooking.
I was going to say what makes me cozy is cooking. I love to cook. When you look at what nature created, you just next time you have a head of garlic and you take the little heads off, the little cloves, I should say, it's so beautifully packed with the tissue paper. It's just gorgeous. If it's cauliflower, no matter what it is, the packaging that God created for these vegetables and fruits is amazing. My tech comes over every week. She always says, do you need anything done? And I say no. And she says, I'm coming anyway. And sure enough, it's so many things. Because I have 9 laptops. I call them little people. One of them always And then if one gets sick, the other one gets jealous of all the attention. And all the techs tell me, now, Susan, that can't happen. And then they see it done.
It's hilarious.
I'm just looking on the line. Why can't it happen? So when she comes, I always cook for her. I'm so grateful that anyone will come to my house in the middle of winter. And she finds a parking spot and runs up. And she's so genius with everything. She used to work at the Genius Bar. She has her own business. And I know she likes salmon. I know she likes rice and different vegetables. And I always time it because I made her do Find My, so I can see her driving over and I know when to put. So when she walks in the door, she can sit down for a cozy meal.
Ooh, I'm a big salmon and rice fan, so we should definitely share that in common. And yeah. I will never look at a garlic head the same after that beautiful description.
Wait till you see it. It's so beautiful. I marvel at it every time. So anyway, having a cozy meal on a cold winter day. And it's been really cold here in New York. Ooh, really yeah. Cold.
I hope it warms up for you. But every time I make salmon and rice now, I'll think of you.
Oh, thank you. And I make vegetables too. Beautiful one. Like asparagus.
I love asparagus.
She never knew she liked asparagus until she tasted mine. If you roast them in the oven for 10 minutes.
That's a great compliment.
Oh, beautiful. A little olive oil.
There's nothing cozier than showing love and appreciation through cooking and sharing food. And
I cook for everyone who comes over, everyone who walks through the door.
I'm going to share my location with you, Susan. And then when you see me nearby, just get ready.
Yeah, get some menus prepared. Yeah.
That's right. When I see your car heading my way, put everything in the oven.
Well, speaking of appreciation, in the words of David Letterman, our guest needs no introduction, but she's so incredible, we're going for it. Meet Susan Miller, famed astrologer, author, and founder of AstrologyZone.com, a site where she shares her highly anticipated forecast and words of wisdom to millions since 1995. Susan stands out for her warmth, genuine care for her readers, and keen ability to translate the messages of the stars with true accessibility. Whether you're reading your monthly horoscope or meeting her in person, Susan leaves you better off than where you started. With a universe full of fans benefiting from her vast knowledge and the magical lens from which she interprets the world. Throughout the years on the podcast, we've touched on astrology here and there, but as we enter spring and prepare to usher in new beginnings, we thought it'd be the perfect time to dive deeper into the topic and the special glow it can cast on our lives. And how lucky are we to have Susan here to talk about her cozy experiences as a renowned astrologer and what exciting events await us in 2024.
Oh, thank you so much. That was an amazing introduction. Is that me?
It is. Truly. You're like one of the biggest celebrities in my life. So exciting to have you on here. And you're a wonderful person. But we have a lot to talk about and ask you. So I'll get right to it. First thing I want to ask, I know you have such a wealth of history and experiences when you were younger that brought you here to where you are. And I know some of the story, but personally, what do you find comforting and cozy about astrology?
With astrology, you partner with the universe. It's not predestination and it's not fortune telling. But when you see good aspects coming up, really helpful ones, glittery ones that are a gift from a loving universe, you start thinking, how can I use this? I used to sew. When I was younger, I made all my clothes. And I would go into a fabric store and where all the designers, if they had extra fabric, they gave it to the storekeeper down on Fashion Avenue. And the shopkeeper would show you, he would unfurl it. And you think to yourself, what could I do with that? That's such beautiful piece of silk or beautiful piece of wool. What could I make of that? And I feel the exact same way when I'm looking at the aspects. For example, May is such a good month this year. It's insanely good. Every day is like a jewel dropping from heaven. And I want people to plan for it. And I try to give ideas of how you could use it. I write a calendar every year. And
so beautiful.
This is this year's. And they take me 7 months to write. But I'm looking almost like with a loop at every single day, because only by doing that, you can see the shape of the year, because the little planets cooperate with each other. They bolster each other sometimes, certainly in May. And even take April, the whole month has Mercury retrograde. So people are like, oh no, I'm doomed. No, not at all. I want to prove to my readers this year that April has one aspect that's so spectacular, it can override everything that's happening in May. Those little delays, those little backtracking, it's nothing compared. This is Jupiter conjunct Uranus. Jupiter is the giver of gifts and luck, the great benefic, the good fortune planet. It's meeting with the planet of surprise, something that you don't expect at all. It's happening on April 20th, and it will not happen again until 2037.
Ooh, wow. It's a big one.
So when you get a rare aspect, you kind of sense, I haven't had anything like this. You know, this is new, and it's happening in Taurus. And so wherever someone has Taurus in their horoscope, I will, of course, give people ideas of how to use it. But it's a day full of surprise and happiness. Then in May, I don't even know where to begin. The luckiest day of the year is May 17th and 18th. It kind of bridges 2 days. Technically, it's the 18th, but you already feel it on Sunday the 17th. Jupiter will conjunct Venus, which is gorgeous, on the full moon in May. I think it's on the 26th or 24th, somewhere in there. Could be the 23rd. It's wherever the full moon is in May. And then the new moon on the 7th is so good. But there's just all kinds of lovely things going on. And then at the very end, Jupiter goes into Gemini for the first time in 12 years. Up until now, for the past 12 months, it's been in Taurus, giving special cookies and fun to the water signs and to the earth signs. And now air and fire get their turn. But everybody has Gemini somewhere in a chart. This is where the golden nuggets lie. It's going to be so good for aviation, for communication, for magazines. I know a lot of them are having trouble, and many of them are dropping off and closing, but I see a whole crop of new ones starting. You know, a society never gives up a method of communication. When radio seemed quiet, then podcasts came out, which is very much like radio. So a society doesn't give up what it's got. So no, there's so much to look forward to, but you have to think a little bit, how can I enlarge this? How can I use it in my life? And that's my job, to make your life better.
And through crafting these tapestries, and you use such beautiful language when you describe it, dropping jewels and glittery, and it's just, it's positive and wonderful. And I imagine that brings a lot of your joy to your life as well, creating maps that people can use to benefit their lives.
There's a lot of misinformation out there on every subject under the sun, including astrology. It's very popular lately. But my mother taught me astrology, and I had to study 12 years. She said, you won't be any good unless you study 12 years. She had studied through a correspondence class with her sister. We were always in New York, so my family. So it was a correspondence class to California, and she became accredited. She was quite a scholar. She never did consultations to the outside world, only to her family. And I had a birth defect. I grew up in hospitals. I had something very rare that they couldn't initially figure out. And then when I was 14, they had to go in and look. And I was in the hospital 11 months. And then I was paralyzed from the knee down. So I needed 2.5 years to learn how to walk again. And a lot of doctors thought I wouldn't be able to walk again. But my doctor said, yes, you will. So I wanted to study astrology. Astrology does not take the place of religion. I really want to make that point. People believe in astrology, but it doesn't take the place. As a matter of fact, the dogma of religion is in the ninth house, and the pure belief, whether you just believe or you don't believe, is the 12th house. So it's reflected in the chart. And I also believe, just like that head of garlic has so much thought put into it, the planets are gorgeous, and we are the first generation to see them because of the Hubble spacecraft and the photos that they sent back. And now we have the James Webb. Looked like a flying iPad, a yellow one. And it sends back even more photography. We're the first to see that. You know, the ancient Greeks only saw little twinkling stars, and they never knew about Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Those are the so-called modern planets that were found later. We're lucky. And I think they're there for a purpose. And we don't know why astrology works. We see empirically that it does, but we don't have the definite answer yet. But like the Dalai Lama says, man thinks they have to solve every question in their lifetime. It doesn't work that way.
But your work in writing does give readers so many tools to reflect on their own lives and to look forward to things to anticipate. And that's so cozy. And on that topic, turning our attention now to the signs themselves, we're curious, what signs do you feel embody coziness best?
Everyone's capable of it. The water signs are very romantic. Somehow I associate coziness with romanticism. I could be all wrong, but I think every sign is capable of creating a cozy life. When you take Cancer, their focus is the home, to make the home a cozy haven against a sometimes cruel world, to make home such a wonderful harbor for the family to come to and get rejuvenated and comforted no matter what. My father had Cancer rising. I was very lucky with my family. When any one member gets into any kind of difficulty, the whole family rolls into position and helps that person. I used to think everybody had that. I thought that's nothing unusual, but as you grow up, you see how lucky you were and you took it for granted. And I feel bad that I did, but that's all I knew. It was a wonderful family to grow up in, because there was coziness and comforting and acceptance and unconditional love always. And I think everyone's capable of that.
That's our thesis statement on the show.
Yes. And when I've heard you talk about your children, the great care that you grew up with, it's so evident when you speak about them that they also had a wonderful, comforting, cozy childhood as well. So going back to the planets, because you mentioned that a lot of planets are giving us gifts in May. And
yeah, we should talk about Jupiter, because he's changing positions and hasn't been in Gemini in 12 years. We'll start with Aries, because Aries is the bud, the renewal of life, beginning of spring. We always start with Aries in astrology. That position of Jupiter will allow Aries to travel more and also to learn how to communicate in a more sophisticated fashion. It's all about writing and speaking, or it could even be computer code or gaming, any kind of communication. It could be PR. It could be any form. Then you've got Taurus. Taurus is the one sign that looks at their bank balance on a Friday night with a glass of wine.
Oh, wow. That's my partner to a T.
It's like done well there. That is, yeah. They need to feel growth in financial areas. So they like to have a nest egg. And they're going to do so well financially from May 25th all the way a full year until June 9th. So it's a little bit over a year. It's like 12 and a half months. Then you've got Gemini, which is the celestial favorite. They will find themselves at the right place at the right time. Lucky breaks. Actually, the ancients used to say you could meet your one true love that year when Jupiter's conjunct the sun, because many people will be coming into your life, some very high level people to help you, but also on your own level. And one of them may stand out to be your one true love. So that's a very nice thing. Gemini, think big, and you're going to be taking a long trip, a very long, longer than the Aries, a foreign trip to a place you've never been. And if you feel that's not going to happen, I have two little children and I have no extra money. It's all going to camp and all these other things. Well, when I had that, my director in Turkey, I was writing for a Turkish magazine and he sent me a ticket. I had a week in Istanbul staying at the Four Seasons, and it was like a miracle. And it was wonderful. I met with reporters, but I also was able to see all the sites because they gave me a producer to help me. You get miraculous things when you are the celestial favorite. Cancer, you're going to get it next. But in the meantime, you have Jupiter in Gemini, it's behind the scenes. You have people saying good things about you that you don't know about because it's behind closed doors. You're getting ready for your celestial year, which will begin June 2025 and continue all the way to 2026. But the ancients always felt when you're coming up on a wonderful, fabulous time, you should prioritize what is important for you and what you'd like to achieve during that time. And really think deeply, because sometimes when you have priorities that you made when you were 25, that might change by the time you're 30 or 35. So you reshuffle them, you rethink about them. What do you really want? You also seem to have a big connection with foreign people, foreign places. Your company may be run by a foreign company with a campus overseas. You're also going to start to make money. If you're, especially if you're in sales, they may have made a tough quota. That's getting lifted. You'll make more money. Leo has had a great career year just in the past 12 months. Then at the end of May, finally love and fun and happiness and time with friends. It's so funny. Whenever I would tell Leo, this is such a good time for your career, because that was from last May all the way through this May, 2024. They'd say, well, what about love? What about going out and see friends? They always want it all at the same time, but it doesn't always work that way. Now they won't have to work as hard. They'll be able to rest a little bit on their laurels because they will have established a reputation by the end of May. And more friendships, more fun. And also, that's the house of joy. It could be material, like I want a car or a new computer, or something spiritual. I want a baby. Whatever it is that you want deeply, show the universe your intent. Leo, you've got a good chance. Virgo. Virgo has their big career year. Honors, awards, achievements, same. You must get your successes out there. Do interviews, promotions, expansion, much more influence. And with influence comes power. Also a lot of responsibility, but it's okay. You're ready for it. You're enjoying it. It's a good time for you to be thinking about your career. Virgo is a modest sign. And now the parade comes to your door. People are noticing. I know that Jillian, right?
Yeah, Jillian's a Virgo.
It's funny. Career's been on my mind too.
No, career is fabulous. And do something different. Maybe hire a publicist or have an advertising campaign, because you have a wonderful concept here and people need to hear it in a kind of cruel world. Now we have Libra. Libra's been very lucky with money so far. Maybe they're getting a big tax refund or a big bonus or something. They're a little money magnet. But now it moves into higher education. Some will want to go back to school. They might be able to get a scholarship or so much financial aid that it makes it possible to get that advanced degree. Or the ancients felt travel was a method of learning. So foreign people, foreign places come up again for them. And legal cases tend to go in their favor. They should think global, not local. So this is a really great time because Jupiter in Gemini trines, which is the most harmonious aspect possible, Libra, because they're both air signs. Scorpio, you're going to be making money while you sleep. I think you should definitely take a course in investing and find out a good financial advisor. Ask your friends who's been good for you. I'm telling you, you are a little money magnet and it hasn't been that way. You had good aspects up until May for marriage. So your partner may have been doing well. Or if you say, I'm not married, well, you may have had an agent or a lawyer or some person you work in a collaborative way. And that person's been very good for you. But now you're really going to see the money and this will give you a sense of security and it'll give you options if you wanted to buy an apartment or a house to be able to do it soon. You'll see. Sagittarius. Sagittarius has Jupiter in the partnership house. So all kinds of partnerships are good for them, whether it's marriage or it's working with an agent or some collaborator. It's really funny, though. Sagittarius is the bachelor sign. They don't like to get married. They are worried that it will clip their wings. travel is so important to them that if they feel they'll be hemmed in and stuck home after they get married, they'll be skittish about it. Now, of course, Sagittarians do get married sooner or later, but they're very careful about the person they choose. This year, if you've been living with your girlfriend or boyfriend, there's no reason not to get married. The universe is sending you the most golden vibrations. You should definitely think it over. Capricorn has some changes in where they live because the eclipses are doing that. They may hear good news about their career, though, too, the end of March and later in the year in October. But they have had something very enviable. They've had Jupiter in the house of love. Now it moves into the house of health, fitness, and work projects. If you're a Capricorn, you're going to get all the plum projects. If you're self-employed and you're a Capricorn, oh my goodness, this is great news because business is going to be brisk and you may even have to hire someone. And you say, oh, hire someone. That's hard. For everybody else, it's hard. It's not going to be hard for you. You will find gems, people who will work hard for you and make you look great, and you'll be good to them because Plato called Capricorn the philosopher king who is very nurturing and good to the people in their employ. And this is why they make such great leaders. Okay, we have two signs left. Aquarius has been working on their house. Either they're moving, renovating, fixer-upper, or just buying some new furniture, walking around with paint chips. Talk to any Aquarian and they're fairly obsessed about home. It's coming to a conclusion in May. Now that they've figured everything out and they've feathered their nest, they can now invite love in. They are going to have the best love aspects for romance and meeting that new person in over a decade. Now, if you say, well, wait a minute, I'm already married. I'm an Aquarian. That's okay. You'll get more attention from your partner, which is really nice. And if you want a baby, this would be the best year to try for it. If you've had problems, this is the year to try for that baby or for that adoption. And then Pisces is going to make money from the eclipses and also home and family, real estate. So lucky. Now, if you say, well, I already bought my house. I have a mortgage. Well, maybe you want a vacation cottage. Maybe you just want to rent one on an Airbnb, or maybe you want to buy a little log cabin in the woods near a lake. And you'll be able to do that if you have a college-age child and they're living far from you. I'll help you with the rent so that you have an extra bedroom so I can stay. You know, something like that. Your family adores you. They will do anything for you. If you need a little money from them for the down payment, ask, even if they've never given you money before, this year they want to help you. Oh, talk about cozy. I mean, to be in the heart of family, so nice. And you're a Pisces.
Yes, I am. I'm already looking at log cabin by lakes as we speak. Well, thank you for that incredible rundown. There's so much to look forward to in the year ahead.
Yes. And you know, the planets are always moving. And just when you think you're stuck, and that you have a situation that is like glue and it's not moving, the planets move into a different position and you get a breakthrough. But you have to, as I said, partner with the universe. You have to show your intent. When I'm stuck, I ask God for a clue. And he always answers me within 24 hours. It's crazy. My friends say, you do get an answer. I'm like, yes, always. But I'm pretty specific. I tell them what my problem is. You know, I'm on Discord and twice a month I ask questions like, well, it's called AMA, Ask Me Anything. And last night I asked for emergency questions and it was so heartfelt because people really had difficult, complex questions. But the whole community, we had 80 people in the little group and people had ideas and were putting them in the chat. And we were integrating them. And I love that when it's not just me, it's everyone together to make that person feel that they're not alone. You know, we all feel so alone when we have a difficult problem to solve. And we always are sure no one has ever had this problem. But that's not true. Other people have. or something similar. We're all here to help each other. I'm really enjoying these sessions on Discord that I do twice a month. You have to have an invitation, but we put it right on the front page of my website. If you scroll down, it says appearances and it gives the link. They have to vet you that you're not a bot.
No robots.
That's
here.
That's the only reason.
Yes.
Little robots walking around.
What's incredible, though, and what you're creating on Discord and in other places is a really strong community of people who are coming together and through your work supporting each other. In your long career, is there any other favorite memory or anecdote that you have where you brought someone happiness through astrology?
One stands out in my mind. This lady wrote to me from India. And she was in an arranged marriage and it was not working. It was a real disaster. There just was no chemistry. And she did divorce him. And she was at a family gathering, must have been a holiday, where the family, large family, was at the table. And the father went around to each daughter and son and said what he loved about them. But when he got to her, he said, "You have brought shame on the family. I will disown you. I don't want to see you." And she was just heartbroken. And I said, you know, like the Bible says, we have to honor our father and mother. They do make mistakes, but they do also mellow in time. We have to love them no matter what. And then just fast forward about 6 or 8 months, I'm in Seattle. I'm doing a book signing. There's a long line. And, you know, signing, asking people's names. And then this lady came with her little girl, who was 5 years old. And I said, okay, I have to take a break. And I have to put her on my lap, play with her for a minute. But she was so cute, you know. And she looked at me, the mother, and said, "I'm Arnica." And I'm like, oh my gosh. And that was the lady who was written to me. And in the back was the father with the smaller little baby with the carriage. He was watching while she came up to me. And I said, "Look what your father's missing, these beautiful grandchildren." And I felt that she should keep contact, that sooner or later, you know, send photos, send messages of love. I never feel you should break contact with family one way or another. Just show you're interested. There will be a time when that fence will come down. And I think of her all the time to this day. This must be 15 years ago, but what a beautiful family. People think after they come to me that I forget about them.
No, you don't. You remembered me. So
I keep thinking about the people who asked me questions last night even. And if I think of something, I'll get in touch with them. Because they're on Discord and I remember their names. You know, they themselves avatars, but you remember them. You know, your mind's always working.
Yes. You know? Have so much going on, so many wonderful people that you've invited into your life and they're coming, you know, relationships and whatnot. And so clearly make astrology very comforting for folks. And there's still some who are skeptical, don't know where to start with astrology. What advice would you have?
That's okay. I was skeptical. Every astrologer I know, male or female, are skeptical before they study it. And that's healthy. I would say to my mother, "How could you look at a piece of paper and know what influences are coming?" She told me I would write when I grew up. I said, "Mama, nobody writes in our family." She said, "You're going to write and I'm going to work on your grammar." I was 9 years old. And then she told me, when you get at the end of your 30s, some newly invented form of communication, so new we don't know the name of it yet, will change the way you work and be the channel in which you make your ultimate contribution to the world. I am like thunderstruck. Well, what is this new invention? She said, "We don't know." For me, it was television. And I think you'll be on television, and I am. But that's not the hub of the wheel. There's something else, a newer invention. Well, I drove her crazy. I said, "You have to tell me more." She said, "Well, you have Aquarius up there. Aquarius is ruled by Uranus. That's electricity. So it has something to do with something that plugs in the wall." That wasn't enough for me. I needed more. And then she said something that zippered me shut. She said, "There are little dots or lines that are invisible that go through the air. And it has something to do with your writing." And I know it doesn't make any sense, but Aquarius is an air sign, Susan. So somehow your writing goes through the air. I don't know.
Wow.
She was predicting the internet.
That's just you need to write a book about your life and maybe also a cooking book, astrology themed.
That's incredible.
If someone is unsure about their career path, your rising sign sets the career path. So always look to the rising sign for clues of where you'll be the most successful in life. And the midheaven is what you grow into by time you're maybe 37, 38, 39, 40, or a little bit beyond that. That's how it works. That's your reputation. So like if you have Virgo up there, you're known for exquisite research and accuracy, or maybe health, because Virgo is very attached to health and wellness. If it's Scorpio, it could be for law and order, being a prosecutor or cracking crimes. And there's all kinds of things there that you can glean. I can even rectify a chart by knowing the person's vocation and working backwards. Because that ascendant is your face to the world. Do you both know your rising sign?
I'm a Libra rising.
Libra is all about beauty and social graces and culture. And all your guests are part of culture. They're artists or writers or playwrights or directors or, you know, they're part of culture. What do you have rising?
Sagittarius rising.
Ah, that's the philosopher. You love things that you could debate and pull apart. And you're the kind of person who go to a little coffee shop in Greenwich Village where they have a tin ceiling and cannolis and a cappuccino and just stay there until dawn, discussing the meaning of life. On my website, I have a new feature. It's free. You can go on and do your chart as long as you know what time you're born. If you don't know, you put in whole house system and you do sunrise, because that is what we default to. And at least you'll know where your planets were that day. You may not know your rising until you can find out the time of birth, but at least you'll know where the other planets are. And I give an interpretation. It's all free. It's on the homepage of Astrology Song.
That's an incredible resource. And again, Susan, thank you so much for joining us today. You've given us so much cozy food for thought.
Well, thank you. What I love about your podcast is so different. It's different from any others.
Thank you.
And now you're going to keep me thinking about what's cozy.
Lots of coziness in your life, so it should be easy.
Yes. And there's so much coziness to get from your website, astrologyzone.com, where people can subscribe and read your daily horoscopes, monthly horoscopes, your writings on life and love and more. And you mentioned a little earlier when you were on with us that you have a new book coming out. Can you tell us about the new book that's out?
Yeah, it came out on St. Patrick's Day, which I think is very lucky.
Yeah, very lucky.
It's on Kindle right now. What I love about Kindle is you buy it, you take your credit card, put it back in your wallet, and it flies through the air, and you go in your office or your bedroom, and there it is. It's right there. It's like magic. Mm-hmm. No downloading. It's there. It's looking at you. I also have two apps, Moonlight Phases, which tells you when to act and when to hold back when the moon is void, of course. But it's the cutest little app. It has a darling little moon with eyelashes and rosebud mouth. And I made it very friendly because it's a new concept, but people love it. And then Astrology Zone Horoscopes on both Apple and Google Play. And Moonlight Phases is on both too. If they put in Susan Miller, both should come up, theoretically. We'll see. But I always have my picture because people are pretending to be me. So look for my picture in a white blouse, and that helps.
The Moonlight Phases app sounds so neat, especially since a lot of folks these days are, you know, set on it with intentions and when to make those wishes and set the groundwork. That's a great idea.
The moon is the fastest moving body of any of our bodies in the solar system. She's not a planet. She's the Earth satellite, but she meets with all the planets. Now, she could be in conflict or friendly or shoulder to shoulder in a conjunction. Doesn't matter. As long as she's engaged in a conversation, that's good. But when she's met all the planets, there's nothing else to do. She goes into her boudoir, takes off her long gown and her long white gloves and takes a nap. And that's when you don't have her help. And what's the difference? You can't make progress. You know, when we have a meeting, we want to build up traction. We have a goal. But if the moon's void, of course, it falls apart or the meeting never even takes place. Now, there's good times to have a moon void, of course. Let's say the IRS calls you up and is going to audit you. It's the moon void, of course. There's nothing here to do. You've done everything right. Thank you. Goodbye. So there are times when you don't want change.
Yeah, in her boudoir, I love that.
It's only $8 and it's not a subscription the way my other one is. But my other app is $4.99 a month. The other one, Moonlight Phases, it's $8 flat fee. It goes all the way through 2050. Both of them have GPS built in. So when you go to Paris, it follows you and gives
That's
you the
so
right.
That's so smart. That's so cozy.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again to Susan for taking the time to talk with us today about the coziness of astrology. I learned so much and there's so much to look forward to in 2024. I'm really excited about the months ahead.
Yes, me too. So excited just to hear about every sign and what they have in store and positive things to look forward to. But like Susan said, she illustrates the tapestry. She doesn't make it happen like magic. So it's just things to look out for and signs and use it to your advantage and always hope the best for yourself. I think that's the takeaway from this. Advocate for yourself and will magical things into your life. It's a really wonderful message to end on for that interview with Susan.
Absolutely. And speaking of words, while we marinate on those thoughts, let's take in some words of warmth.
So my words of warmth, it's our second segment, so it's pretty exciting. And I was thinking about this one fitting really well with our segment. And the quote is from 2005's Me and You and Everyone We Know. And the quote is from the character Richard Swercy. I don't want to have to do this living. I just walk around. I want to be swept off my feet, you know. I want my children to have magical powers. I am prepared for amazing things to happen. I can handle it. I don't know why that quote just over the months and years, it just keeps on popping back into my head. And I think it's because I'm really attracted to magical thinking. And especially as we get older and things become a little more humdrum, I'm still kind of waiting for that magical event and to be open to it and to believe in it, that something really amazing will befall me and some special turn of events. And just the fact that you can be prepared for the positive magical thing and be open to it. And there's something so sweet about that scene, because when I saw this movie, my dad was like probably the primary caregiver. And so I always thought about him too, like what it must be like commuting from the train back and forth and taking care of kids and all these things. And just to leave open that sliver of possibility and to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So that always brings me a lot of comfort, this quote. And it makes me want to go after the magical and impossible even more whenever I think about it.
I love that. And you know what, Julian, I think that's going to happen because this is your career year. A lot of exciting things ahead. Great time to travel. A lot of magic in store for you. I see that happening.
Yes, I'm hoping for my career. And Susan touched on that. And it's so funny because I literally had put a post-it note on my wall that I said in 3 months, I'm going to be creatively fulfilled and all these things. So it's so funny that she touched on that.
Love it. I'm going more country with my words of warmth from today, because these are words from Laura Ingalls Wilder. And she came to mind because the TV show Little House on the Prairie is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. And so when I saw this quote, it felt like all of the planets were aligning in terms of celebrating its anniversary and also these really cozy thoughts on spring. And the quote is, some old-fashioned things like fresh air and sunshine are hard to beat. In our mad rush for progress and modern improvements, let's be sure to take along with us all the old-fashioned things worthwhile. And I really love this quote because I love technology and I love all the advancements they make, but I really like also stepping back and making sure that we're in touch with nature and what's good for our bodies as well. And I've been listening to this podcast by NPR called The Body Electric that my husband recommended, and it really is really wonderful. And it's about how technology impacts our bodies in a way that we can improve our health and our relationship with technology. So it's a healthier physical relationship. But it didn't take NPR to tell me that. We knew this from Laura Ingalls Wilder all along. Just a brief reminder to enjoy the fresh air and the sunshine and get out there and enjoy nature.
Yeah. And you take your steps every day and you take it very seriously. So you always get some fresh air. Sometimes, I think I've said this before, the only fresh air gets, like, when I take out the trash, I'm like, oh my God, you need to get out and smell the LA smog or just get your steps in.
Spring is here. It's a good time to start those habits. And on the topic of smelling smog, we also have our candle review.
Yes. And this is not anything smoggy.
No. What are we sniffing this week, Julian?
We're sniffing Brookman Candle & Co.'s Caramelized Pear. And it is a wonderful combination of sweet and spice with a dash of fresh pear caramelized in sugar and brandy. And the top notes are cinnamon clove, the middle pear, apple, and apple cider, and then the base is sugar and brandy. And this is a very strong candle. You get the bang for your buck, and that's wonderful because it supports Megan, a mom of four, who is working out of Blandford, Mass. And so when I was in the Berkshires, I stopped by a store that only sold local goods. I said, show me your local candles. And I got directed to this one. It smells almost like bubblegum, a very fragrant pear scented bubblegum. And I say that as a compliment. If it's a gum, I'd chew it. I think it's a wick up for me. Very sweet. I also chose it because it has some spring elements with the pear. I wanted something that wasn't winter aligned. And I think when I think of pears, I think of spring. And so this sweet, springy scent is a good one. Brookman Candle & Co. has a lot of stuff on their website, so go check it out and find maybe your own bubblegum scent or another kind of scent.
This sounds almost like a cocktail I want to drink. This sounds amazing. A great candle for spring. That does it for our show this week. Thank you all for joining us and spending a little time to get cozy with All Things Cozy. You can keep up with our show on social media. We are on Instagram at All Things Cozy Podcast. We are on Facebook at the same handle. We have an amazing Facebook group where you can touch base with all our amazing cozy community members. And if you want to support the show, we are on Patreon at patreon.com/allthingscozy. We'll be back in your ears with a brand new cozy episode in just a couple more weeks. Until next time, stay cozy.